Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You can almost hear the whistles, can't you? I can tell you it's exactly 42 days until the Vikings' home opener. A certain win against the San Francisco 49ers. All the training camps have opened. The Hall of Fame game was on TV this past week. You know, it used to be kind of fun to read in the newspaper. They don't do it anymore. The training camps used to put out how much food those men would eat over the course of a training camp. It was a ridiculous amount of food. Truckloads of spaghetti and 12 cattle or whatever it might have been. Well, today's football players still eat well, but they eat leaner and smarter. Some of the biggest men in the NFL need about 6,000 calories a day in order to sustain their weight and their energy. Here would be a typical menu for a 6,000 calorie diet for an NFL lineman for breakfast. One whole wheat bagel, 6 eggs, 3 pieces of bacon, 2 cups of oatmeal, a slice of cheddar cheese, 2 bananas, 24 ounces of chocolate milk, 12 ounces of yogurt, protein powder and peanut butter, a cup of blueberries, and an apple. And that's breakfast. For the noon luncheon, they might get only 12 ounces of lean ground beef, 2 cups of brown rice, 2 cups of spinach, a cup of mushrooms, and a cup of strawberries. For dinner, if they're still hungry, oh sure. They would get a 16-ounce steak, 2 more cups of brown rice, and a cup each of mushrooms, bell peppers, and a cup of something else. Mushrooms, did I say that yet? And for dessert, an entire box of Skinny Cow ice cream sandwiches. You know, some would kill for that diet, and that diet would kill other people. When Jesus says, you will never be hungry, you know, that diet fills the bill. Back in 1984, a man named Eric Edmonds went to extreme measures to help combat his obesity. He had that stomach stapling surgery, 70 stainless steel staples that cordoned off a portion of his stomach so he couldn't eat as much. 2 days after surgery, he was walking the halls of the hospital and saw a refrigerator stocked with milk, juices, and other items. He was so hungry. He engorged himself and broke open all the staples in his stomach, creating a life-threatening situation. Later, he sued the hospital for $250,000. Alleging negligence on the part of the hospital for allowing him to walk the hallways and have access to the refrigerator. I mean, that's extreme, yes? Extreme hunger, extreme situation. In last week's gospel from John, on which Pastor Anjanette preached, Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 barley fish. That's a good trick. The people were impressed. The next day, they'd like to see a little bit more food magic. But they wake up and Jesus and the disciples are gone. So they get into their boats and they look for him. Have you ever been put on the spot? A situation where you have said something or asked the question which really doesn't represent what you feel or what you wanted to say? Maybe you bought a car and it turned out to be a lemon. Every day something more goes wrong. You begin to hate that car. It shakes, rattles, and rolls, including an alignment that's always pulling you to the right side of the road. Finally, you muster up enough courage that you're going to go back to the dealership and demand your money back for that car. You pull into the dealer, and your salesperson greets you like a long-lost friend. And all of your courage melts. And the question that comes out of your mouth is, could you have somebody look at the alignment of this car? That's not what you wanted to say. You wanted to say, I want my money back for this car. When the people find Jesus at Capernaum, his adopted hometown, they come into his presence and evidently their courage fails and they are not able to ask the question they really want to ask. You can almost see their eyes shifting left and right, searching for something to say, and they come up with this beauty. Rabbi, when did you come here? Who cares? They saw him yesterday. There was overnight. He's in Capernaum next. They know when he came here. It was sometime overnight. They're not concerned about when he got there, like he missed the 722 bus from Bethel downtown and he has to take the 752. Jesus sees right away through this insincere question. He says to them, very truly I tell you, you're not looking for me because you saw the signs. You're looking for me because you ate your fill of the food. Jesus knows what they want. They want another happy meal. They want fish and chips. Hold the tartar sauce, thank you. Jesus, in his love, care, compassion for people, the previous day has fed 5,000 people in a lonely place where they have no access to food. But instead of seeing this for the sign that it really is, a sign that points to the gracious bread of life, all they see is free food. And Jesus warns them about this food. Jesus says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. The ultimate answer has nothing to do with that food you can hold in your hands. It has to do with the bread of life. Years ago, there was a brilliant young French author who spoke and wrote for many of the educated young elite of his day. Some of you will remember his name, Albert Camus. Camus' theory of life is that everything is absurd. There is no point to life. There is no meaning in life. There is no reason to try to predict what your life will be like because we are all subject to blind chance. The end of Albert Camus, in a weird way, illustrates his own theory on life. One day he decided to go to Paris and was going to take the train. Instead, something that a friend said encouraged him to take his car, so he was driving to Paris. On his way, he tried to take a curve at 90 miles an hour and crashed and died. The most brilliant light in French literature was snuffed out in a minute. One who had already won a Nobel Prize for literature. And in the newspapers the next day, the headline was absurd. Now Camus, it seems to me, was most interested in the things of this world, which he correctly predicted are unpredictable. He would have done well, I think, to believe in the transcendent truths of Jesus Christ. He didn't have to believe that the life was without meaning or purpose. He could have believed that life is a gift from God, a gift of love, and that life finds meaning in serving God and serving people. He didn't have to end up as just a broken body at the side of the road. He could have believed in the bread of life. A great Christian author named Max Lucado gives us a different look at the bread of life. He says, the grain to bread process is an arduous one. The grain needs to be planted. When it is ripe, it is cut down, threshed out, and ground into flour. Before it can become bread, it has to go through the heat of the oven. Bread is from sowing to harvest to baking. In the same way, he writes, Jesus went through an arduous process. He was born into the world. He was cut down, bruised and beaten on the threshing floor of Calvary. He went through the fire of death, through death to life, so that we may have Christ. It is that bread, people of God, upon which we depend for life, the bread of life. You know, this God who gives us all kinds of things, including our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. But no matter how much we eat today, in spite of what a child might have said here, we will need to eat again tomorrow. No matter how much a pro football player eats for breakfast, he's still going to eat noon and dinner, and he's going to do it again the next day. No matter how much money we make this year, we'll need more money next year. No matter how fine our homes and cars are, they will eventually need repair or replacement. Do not work for the food that perishes, says Jesus, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. If we have that kind of food, we will never be hungry. We will never be thirsty, for our souls will soar with the satisfaction of spirit in Christ. Amen. Our hymn of the day celebrates the I Am sayings, including I Am the Bread of Life, hymn 485. It is a difficult hymn in that all of the verses are very irregular, and Marcia is going to be our cantor. She will sing the verses. You please join in the refrain. Please